Andy Steve. And then your wife's theme would be bump, bump, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bump.
I wanted that when we renewed our vows in Florida and she nixed it.
I had it at my wedding.
Right, we want to get cracking then.
Let's get cracking.
I'm Captain Benjamin Sisko. Welcome to Deep Space Nine.
Red alert! All crew members report to battle station.
Red alert. Shields up.
What shields?
Your Starfleet officers! Now start acting like it!
Oh, it's just Garak. Plain, simple, Garak.
Dax, we might have just discovered the first stable wormhole known to exist.
The wormhole does bring them our way, doesn't it?
Everyone wants a piece of the new frontier.
This will shortly become a leading center of commerce and of scientific exploration. And for Starfleet, one of our most important posts.
Quite a motley crew you've assembled here, Benji.
Listen to The Prophets, a Deep Space Nine podcast.
And here are your hosts, Andrew Leyland, Paul Spataro, and Dr. Bill Robinson.
Bloody hell.
We're on deep space. We're going to Deep Space Nine. We're voyaging to the wormhole, which orbits Deep Space Nine. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Listen to the Prophets, your guide to every single episode of the most underrated Star Trek show in the history of Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. Today, we'll be looking at Season 4's final episode, Broken Link. I am Andrew Leyland, and as ever, I am joined by my two compatriots in crime, my changelings, my link to the Great Link, Doctor Bill Robinson, and the mighty Paul Spataro.
I think Dr. Bill is the missing Great Link.
That would explain a great many things, wouldn't it? Today, we are joined by a new shapeshifter, friend, funny guy, and all-round top bloke, Mr. J. David, you can call me Dave, Wheater.
Good morning, good morning. And yeah, I'm that Hello. Changeling that sits on your shelf staring. I might be a vase. I might be a clock.
The one that sits on your shoulder going, go on, do it. Do it. Do it. As I said, today's episode is Broken Link, the final episode of Season 4. But before we jump headfirst into that big gooey pool that all of the changeling reside in, we will discuss our usual Star Trek news.
Which we pretty much covered all last episode, so we don't have any new news.
Well, okay. As always, we're recording, we're recording at the very end of March, beginning of April, and as always, I am thrilled that we are now starting the interspace baseball season.
Oh, that's true.
Millennium training is over.
Ferengi now put up a pretty good show in this season, it has to be said.
I gotta say, I think the Ferenginar people bribe the umpires.
I think that's probably wise, but my money is still on the Hortus.
Do you think the Ferengi pitchers hide stuff in their ears?
I don't think the older ones have room because of all that huh.
And have they?
Well, they probably use the ears as sandpaper.
have they resolved the issue with the Hortus dissolving the bases with acid?
No, that's still out for review. I think for now they're just not going to let them do that until they, it's just on hold. And also they're in the 1,000th inning now officially of the Packlet and Gorn game that's been going on for quite some time now. So we don't know. I mean, but that didn't really affect the final standings last season. But they still haven't finished that game.
I'm surprised they're in the 1,000th inning. I thought it would be more likely that they'd be in the 1,000th hour of the first inning.
Yeah, I think the Gorn eating that pack lad at the beginning of the opening ceremony, I don't think that boded well for the game, and they've just been taking the piss throughout.
You All know right. what? You take the risks when you step into the plate.
Especially when you're with the Gorn.
Yeah.
And just a thought, would the Gorn be better off if they had CPAP machines?
It definitely helped me.
I think the Andorians are going to come back this year.
You think?
I know it's been like 150 years since they've won a title, but I think this year is the year.
Are you one of those people who just clings on to the glory days of the Andorian Empire?
Did you say he's a Klingon?
No, we're boycotting the Klingons this year, remember?
Well, you know, they made them stop using their bathless as bats because they would just cut the ball in half, and that wasn't fair at all.
And then they would cut their opponents in half, and then they cut the umpire in half. And when they started on the audience, I think that's where we need to draw a line. I mean, I know they bring a lot of money into the sport, but really?
Oh, but you know, the Klingons do have a sponsor. They've got the eye drops for Gowron. They've got that new thing going on, you know, to moisturize. For those in the Empire that don't blink ever.
When you go face to face with your gods, you don't blink. You just slay them.
Anyway, that's where we're up to in the Spaceball League.
It totally slipped by me. I didn't notice that millennial training was over.
Yep.
Okay, Broken Link, as I've said, is Season 4's Episode 25, rather than 26, because we had a two-hour opener. The story is by George Brozak, teleplay by Robert Hewitt Wolfe and Ira Stephen Burr, and directed by Les Landau. This originally aired, or went out to stations, on June 17th, 1996.
The day.
You have to take me back to my people.
Of judgment.
You killed a changeling, Odin.
I had no choice.
Is at hand.
I'm the only changeling who's ever harmed another.
Odo's final hour.
If you refuse to join with us, you will die.
Has arrived.
What have you done to him?
He has been judged.
On the next Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Aboard Space Station Deep Space Nine, thanks for pointing that out, Wikipedia, Constable Odo suddenly collapses and is taken to the infirmary.
Wait. I forgot to bring this up before we start recording. There are things in this that spoil things. Are you going to edit them out, or are you just going to...
Things in this that spoil things?
Well, they talk about things that will be revealed in later episodes as to where this...
In the synopsis?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. No. I'm not planning on editing anything out.
Okay. So
we're gonna let it ride. So I
we're
guess
gonna let the spoiler the, out.
I guess yeah. Just give a spoiler alert that okay. If you have not seen the show, if you don't know where it's gonna go, and you don't want to really hear anything about future stuff, then you might want to just jump ahead 5 minutes and not listen to the synopsis.
But if you've watched the episode, you don't need the synopsis, really.
Yeah.
Yes. On the promenade, Constable Odo suddenly collapses and is taken to the infirmary. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Bashir performs an exam and determines that Odo can no longer maintain a solid form, but Bashir can't find an explanation as to what is happening to Odo. The only thing Bashir can do is give Odo medical orders to remain under observation and to take a rest from his duties. Odo is reluctant to do so, but decides to obey the doctor's orders for the moment. Kira stops by and brings him a report on the day's criminal activities. She hopes that this will take his mind off what is happening to him. While reading the report, he notices something that catches his eye. He then attempts to leave the infirmary to investigate. He doesn't make it far and loses his shape and collapses into a puddle on the floor.
Odo hasn't done that.
Yeah, we've all done that, haven't we? You know, the bowels just...
Somebody get a mop.
Odo then comes to the realization that the only people that can help him are his own people, the Founders. With the help of Sisko, Worf, Bashir, Dax, and Garak, Odo is taken to the Gamma Quadrant aboard the starship Defiant. They are met by the female changeling and three Jem'Hadar soldiers. The female changeling tells Odo that the only way he can be helped is by coming with them to join the Great Link. The Jem'Hadar soldiers then pilot the Defiant to the location of the Great Link, using a device to keep the location of the Link a secret. Later on in his quarters, the female changeling visits Odo, and by linking with him, she is able to temporarily stabilize his condition. Odo quickly comes to the conclusion that he was somehow infected by the changelings in order to force him to return to the Great Link, which will be revealed in a future episode. He also learns he is to be judged by the Great Link, as he's the only changeling to have killed another of his kind. The female changeling tells Odo he must join the Great Link. Can we take a drink every time this synopsis says the Great Link?
Guilty.
But to also let other changelings know why he killed another of his kind. and again every time it says another of his kind. She tells him that the Founders have infected Odo with the disease. Odo is also told that while he's in the Great Link, take a drink, he will be judged by the other changeling, and that at the same time his punishment will be determined. Sisko and his crew try to protect Odo, but he tells them he wants to be judged. As a man of justice all his life, he feels that he's not above justice himself. Later, Garak asks the female changeling if there are any Cardassian survivors from the failed Cardassian Romulan attack on the Founders' homeworld a year earlier. She bluntly replies that they're all dead and that Cardassia is doomed. Sisko and Bashir then accompany Odo and the female changeling to the surface of the planet they are orbiting. Once on the surface, on a small island in a sea of changelings, they realize how many changelings there are. And as far as they can see, it is a sea of changelings in their liquid form. Even from orbit, the planet appears to be covered with them. Odo and the female changeling, who really needs a goddamn name, then walk into the sea, leaving Bashir and Sisko to wait for them. On the Defiant, Worf catches Garak attempting to fire the ship's weapons on the planet and stops him from committing genocide on the Founders and killing Sisko, Bashir and Odo. In the process... Oh, sorry. For fuck in the process. Back on the surface, time goes slowly, and Bashir, in his boredom, nearly throws a stone into the, take a drink, Great Link, but is stopped just in time by Sisko. Later, Odo is expelled from the, take a drink, Great Link as a human. The female changeling explains that this is Odo's punishment. Odo later notes that the Founders left his face as it was to remind him of what he lost. Soon after returning to the station, a message from Gowron, leader of the Klingon Empire, is received. As the crew watches what borders on a declaration of war against the Federation, Odo reaches a startling realization. Gowron is not a Klingon at all. He has been replaced by a changeling. How come the changelings can do magnificent representations of Klingon faces, but human faces? Bah, not a chance.
They kind of explain that away, trying to say, well, Odo wasn't able to do it, and then that they all kind of take on that look kind of for him.
But so it's like the human bogus torch in a secret identity. We're gonna humor you with making our faces look like yours.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of bogus. It's just, I guess, to allow us to be able to pick out, you know, who's who and not be confused by it. And they just kind of sweep that under the rug, as far as I'm concerned. So it's just kind of like, you got to accept that as just the way it is.
Yeah, because I'm sure René Auberjonois would have been made up not to have to go through the makeup process for a couple of episodes. All right, I did the synopsis, so I'll do my thoughts first. I thought this was a very weak season finale. I think there's an awful lot of interesting stuff introduced here. It is an awful lot of signposting and setting stuff up for the future. But it really did feel to me that it was aiming for that big revelation at the end, but didn't actually have enough of a plot to get there. And as such, it felt a little bit slow in places. The Garak bits are brilliant, because Garak's brilliant, and I think Odo's performance is really good. Avery Brooks is really good in this one. I'm particularly fond of the Worf Garak fight, where Garak has the upper hand at the beginning only because Worf isn't expecting him to be that good. And then the minute that Worf took his measure, he just goes, right, I've had enough of this shit, and kicks the crap out of him, which was brilliant stuff. But for the most part, I didn't think this held up over the runting time. I felt this was a 30-minute story padded out to 45 minutes.
It moved a little slowly. I mean, I'll concede that, but I was never bored during it. I think it was supposed to be more, you know, I think the intent was kind of have you in suspense as to what was going to go on with Odo, and also to have you kind of just a little bit in awe of the Great Link. Say it again, have a drink.
Well, so the Great Link being in awe of it is Sisko and Bashir sitting on this little beach, and that scene played on for a little bit too long.
Yeah,
especially with the special effects of the time.
But I didn't find he was going to throw something in it.
Yeah.
See, it's, I got an idea to make that scene better.
If he took a leak in it?
No. Well, because in my headcanon, they're not sitting on rocks. They're sitting on changelings that change form into rocks just so they would have a place to sit. And when he picks up the stone and goes to throw it, I would have had Sisko still go, Doctor, and what are you doing? So he would put the stone down, and then the stone would ooze, like change back to changeling goo and then ooze off into the rock, and then they would realize, oh crap, we're sitting on changelings, and like Bashir would stand up, and they would be even more nervous now, knowing that at any second they could just change back and just plunge them down into the Great Link and kill them. So that's how I would have changed that scene to make it a little more interesting.
I thought you were going somewhere completely different at first, and that's now that I see where you've gone, that's actually pretty brilliant.
Oh, I thank you. I don't think anybody's ever said that on the show. Wait, so what?
No, I can.
Where did you think I was going with that?
Well, which body part are they picking up? That's
Yeah.
I mean, I've met you, Dr. Bill. We've been in the same place at the same time.
Whoa, easy now.
Well, there are no pigs involved, so.
There were grits involved when I met him.
Grits, delicious.
Not so much. Did you feed Andy grits?
I had one taste of grits.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry, Andy. That's not the way I want everything to be represented.
No, he should have had scrapple instead.
I don't even know what that is.
It's concoction of meat and fat that they serve.
Let me tell you, I will look up the exact definition. Welcome to Scrapple Talk.
Well, while you're doing that, and you can come back to that in a minute.
Here we go.
It'll go on.
Scrapple, also known by the Pennsylvania Dutch name panhaas or pan rabbit, is traditionally a mush of pork scraps and trimmings combined with cornmeal and wheat flour, often buckwheat flour and spices. The mush is formed into a semi-solid congealed loaf, and slices of the scrapple are then pan-fried before serving. And I will send a picture in the link.
Please don't. So is that why Crichton used to call Rigel buckwheat?
It's one of the things, you know, when you come across to this country, it's one of the things that I do not hold on with pride to show you.
It's right up there with Spam.
No, but Spam's good.
What? No. So is Scrapple. Scrapple's good.
You know what Spam looks like? Changelings.
Spam, the negative about Spam is that it's so physically bad for you, but it tastes good.
The dialogue in this one's funny. I did like the continuation of Kira's pregnancy. The lovely bit at the beginning where the crew are taking bets on how many sneezes she'll do, I thought was genuinely, genuinely funny. And I think, when I said what I said at the end, I didn't find it boring. I did not find this episode boring. I just felt that the story wasn't strong enough to carry the full 45-minute episode. I would have liked to, I think, to have seen more rationalization for what Garak did. Garak committing genocide and killing Sisko and Bashir felt a little bit over the top for me, even for Garak. I think there would have to be a really, really, really good reason for him to kill Bashir, and this didn't feel like it.
Yeah, but Garak's looking for the big picture, and he's probably upset that he thinks his mentor, Tane, is dead. So,
but Bashir's the one person on the station that Garak has had a connection to.
But Garak looking at the future, the big picture, he's not entirely wrong in a way. Had he taken that action, what happens in season 5 and 6 doesn't happen. At least not in the same magnitude. I know that's unpopular opinion.
No, I don't.
Is Dave advocating genocide? No, but his mentality
is... from Garrick's point of view, yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, a certain point of view. You're absolutely right, and I would agree with you. But I would have liked, personally, just to have seen a little bit more angst on Garrick's part about having to kill Bashir to achieve that goal. He probably doesn't care about Sisko. I think he's got a grudging respect for Odo, but would kill him if he had to. But I think the decision to kill Bashir would have weighed more heavily on him. Because like you say, he's got a friend relationship with Bashir. He seems to genuinely like Dr. Bashir, but Bashir likes Garak. I would have liked to have just seen him weigh that a little bit more than just, well, the next thing we see, he's in Defiance room trying to blow them up.
Garak's probably weighed those thoughts before in his multiple lines of work. He's telling stories to Odo about some of the things he's done. Garak is somebody who's like, I'm going to put this to the side. I'm going to do what I have to do.
Right. All right. Okay.
You know, Andy, when you just said Garak's got a friend in Bashir, I suddenly heard the Randy Newman song from Toy Story. you got a friend in me. And I just had this whole montage of Bashir and Garrick and, yeah, sorry. I don't know where I went for a while.
That's a cutscene from Everybody Loves Garrick.
Oh, the Everybody Deep Space Nine spin-off, Deep Space Strangers, where Bashir and Garrick are forced to share an apartment together.
The new odd couple. Oh, there's a picture of Scrapple up in the chat, too.
Yeah,
thank you for that. I saw it and quickly closed it out.
Oh, no, man. You got to open that up so it's full screen, because I got you the one that's like, detailed. Mm-mm. You can see pieces of pork in there and everything. Oh, no, we're going back to pigs! Oh,
see, I kind of like Garrick losing his cool, probably for the first time.
Mm.
Where he doesn't have the upper hand. I mean, the founder lady just basically punched him in the heart. It's the first time I've seen Garrick actually have that kind of emotional reaction. Where she's like, everybody's dead, and you see it on his face. Because again, this guy sells that role so heavily, but you see that complete devastation on his face. Mm. And that's why I looked forward to talking about this episode, was that scene. Was just, well, Garrick, because he's one of the best things about the show, but also that they did such a masterful job of turning that from the guy that always has the upper hand, who's always in the know, to the guy that is turning to something horrific to stave off something even more horrific. It was a good turn, I thought.
Mm. Oh, well, like you said, Garrick has just been such a multifaceted character from the very beginning. A lot of that is in the casting. I think this is a role that could have been one episode and never seen again if Andy Robinson wasn't just so masterful in it. Maybe I just wanted more Garrick, to be honest with you.
We all want
plain,
more
simple Garrick, yes.
I think there's an element to this episode that if you're watching it for the first time and you don't know where the series is going, that there's a little bit of a mystery to how Odo's going to react to the other changelings in the Great Link, because I think they've built that up in the past episodes that he really wants to be a part of that, and that, you know, he is that fish out of water on the space on the station. So I think there's always kind of a thought of maybe he's going to defect.
I wonder if that's what another layer of what Quark was saying, because when Odo's leaving, there's a great scene where Quark begrudgingly says, but you are coming back. Mm. And again, Armin Shimmerman just like sticks the landing like no other, because it's Quark saying, I care about you, I want you to come back, but in the rivalry language that Quark and Odo have.
Mm. Yeah, the relationship between Quark and Odo is another one that's been developed over the 4 years that the show's been running. And again, they've got a grudging respect for each other. They may even like each other, but they would never actually come out and say that they like each other. And I loved that scene. And I loved that every single character who was there got what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see Kira in the background. And one of the things that's good about Deep Space Nine, you always watch the other characters in a scene. Good actors are always reacting to what's going on, as if it's the first time they've seen it. They're not just stood there twiddling their thumbs waiting for their line. And now a visitor reacts to that moment going, and a face just makes a tiny little adjustment like, oh, all right, okay. Maybe you're not a complete twat, Quark.
But I wonder if Quark was also worried about the idea of defection, that the Odo that comes back may not be the Odo that's leaving.
Well, and he's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is absolutely true. We don't really get much of a continuity with Quark and the last episode, though. I think it could have used at least a mention of his new status as being persona non grata with the Ferengi. Mm. Just for a continuity reason. Not just like a throwaway line would have been enough for me.
I wonder how much of that is just scripture and development at the same time. And there's maybe it will get referenced next season when we get into more Ferengi episodes and such, but in the case of this will have been developed while that one was being filmed and so on, and there just wasn't time to drop that in.
Yeah, I guess. So we have Gowron and the Bulgy Eyes here too.
Is that like a new singing group? Gowron and the Bulgy Eyes.
They are currently top of the Klingon Pops.
It is a little bit interesting from a strategic point of view, though, how they're helping to create the unrest between between the Klingons and the Federation, so as to divide them, excuse me, and make it easier for them to come in and take over the quadrant.
I thought I had a better thought, but yeah, I agree with that. That they're softening up the meat for the grill is what they're doing.
Mm. Yeah, have them fight each other and then deplete their own resources, and the reveal at the end that Gowron might be a changeling. I think I'm trying to think when I was watching this originally, the first time around, but I think that there were enough things going on that you should have not necessarily expected that, but known something is wrong, because this doesn't seem to be the way Gowron acted on TNG. He did,
well,
he's
a bit of a
douche
there.
He did seem more honorable.
Seem more honorable? He made Worf take the fall.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Screw him.
More honorable than he is on this show.
He wasn't as blustery.
You got to remember, he was up against Duras, so... House Duras. So it was easy to seem honorable in comparison.
What?
So I think, we're at a little bit of a lack of commentary on this one. There's not a lot more to say, I guess.
Go on, Beth.
I was just going to say, as an overall, it was lackluster, but it had good character moments in both Odo, Quark, and Garak.
Mm. Yeah. It's a solid episode. Pun intended, I just realized that. Sorry, I do apologize for that. But again, it's one of those that we've talked about before. It's more about setting up the next season than it is about being a coherent, cohesive story in its own right. And there's nothing wrong with the story that they're telling here, but it's what it leads to that makes it more interesting in retrospect than on its own, than standing on its own feet.
You know what? This would have been a fine season opener.
Mm.
But for something that's closing out a season, you have to wait 3 months for a resolution. I didn't feel like I had to watch the next episode immediately.
No, I felt it was a very disappointing season finale, but that's not the same as it being a very disappointing episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna go against that thought process, because after I watched this one, I felt compelled to immediately watch the season opener for season 5, and did.
So you've already watched Apocalypse Rising?
I've watched it in the past, but I've also watched it for our purposes, and I'll rewatch it before we record again, because that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I finished this off, and seeing the the human version of Odo made me it pulled me back in again enough that I wanted to watch the next episode and see what was going to go on with the cliffhanger and all.
Well, you and I talked about that the other night, Paul. That both of us had I had forgotten he became human. I was like,
I'd forgotten that as well, actually.
Yeah, I was like, what? Doing the David Tennant. What? He's human? I don't remember that. Now, I believe at some point he goes back to being a changeling, but don't know.
No, I don't think it's... I don't even think he goes through the whole fifth season.
I was going to say, I didn't think it lasted long.
No, it lasts longer than you think it's going to, if memory serves.
If my memory, and my memory could be wrong here, I think it goes about half the season.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking it did go for a little while, but I know that was where some of the relationship with Kira started to take a different turn.
Oh, and I'm not a fan of that at all.
And I have no recollection whatsoever how he regains his powers, so that's good. It's nice when you can watch it and have it feel new to you.
Nude? Oh, new.
Yes.
No. Well, there was nude in this episode.
There was some mention of that in the companion, where he talked about how uncomfortable that made him, and gave him a greater appreciation for female actors because they're so often asked to do things like that. But as a middle-aged man, he didn't expect ever to have to do that.
Well, you know, his and there's also, I was reading the production note, it says Odo's final pose on the Rocky Island is reminiscent of Michelangelo's painting of Adam on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Of the scene, actor René Auberjonois said, "I was trying to convey Odo's amazement, all these emotions that are going through him, what it must be like to suddenly have a body and feel things inside him and outside him, with and all the senses, like smelling and tasting, which he's never had before." So that was because, you know, he's got that. He's got his hand up in the air. Now, he was reaching up. You could say he was reaching up his hand to the founder, to the female changeling, who is still unnamed. And as they were beaming out, but that was, you know, that was the pose he was going for with that. And that's all I got. Because I know people have said we don't do enough background stuff, so we're all doing our bit.
Doing our bit. As bad as it's as bad and sad as it is.
Oh, and also his walk was reminiscent of Alec Guinness in
From Bridge on River Kwai.
River Kwai.
So we have a Star Wars connection there.
Mm-hmm. Tangentially.
Tangent. From a certain point of view. We're going to throw that in one more time.
Yeah, we haven't said that enough today.
Drink! Certain point of view.
Yep.
Drink! Great link.
So now, Dave, having been indoctrinated into our methodology here, what do you think it's time to figure out?
What does Blaine think?
There you go. Well, actually, it's what does Blaine say. Bill, you want to sing us in?
Blaine says, what'd he say? Party time! Email! Excellent!
So Blaine says, hi guys, major Klingon escalation. I thought he was going to say major Kira. Fantastic conversations between Quark and Odo, and more depth to Garrick. This cranks the tension and really builds towards the ending that sets up the next season. I could talk about that, but setting up a Klingon story doesn't really mean a lot to me, so I'll just get back to raving about Garrick and Quark, okay? Seriously, though, transforming Odo into a human means so much. Not only does he lose his abilities, but not lose Aubinjois's early morning makeup calls, but that implies a lot about the founder. That implies a lot about the founder's level of technology and biological understanding, which ups the threat level. I can't imagine how it's even possible to turn a changeling into a human, so I'm going to assume they just made him shapeshift into a human form. So convincing that it fools all Federation technology and exhibits human biological processes, and then somehow locked him into that shape.
That yeah, level that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That no, actually, it was.
It's like Otis saying ditto.
Otisburg.
That level of shapeshifting.
It's a little itty bitty place. Sorry.
Could need to be needed to infiltrate Starfleet. Which we know they've done, so I'm willing to roll with it. Blaine. So Blaine seems to have liked this, doesn't seem to have been put off by it the way Sir Andrew has.
I'm not put off by it.
So
I just didn't feel it. It fulfilled its 45 minutes.
I just didn't like it.
Another subplot would have... Yeah, I just hated it. Oh, I hate this show. I don't know why I'm doing this podcast.
Just look at the iTunes reviews. It'll show how much you hate it.
We didn't talk about the woman that was into Odo. Shallan Arroyo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Odo
Did
might get some.
Her because of her resemblance to Nana Visitor. Oh, yeah. You know what? She does look like Nana Visitor. Mm. But a blonde.
Mm. Yeah.
Dr. Bill has just gone to his happy place. We'll be back soon.
I love that Garrick is trying to set him up.
Yes. And I love the best thing about that is the performance. Garrick slowly slides back out of the way so she can openly flirt with him. And Odo's like a 15-year-old schoolboy who doesn't know what the hell to do. It's very, very funny. Yet, oddly, when he's human, his flirting is much better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and sadly, I think this is the last time we'll see her. Oh, that's a shame. So Odo doesn't get any. Because,
no,
you know, he's a solid now.
Do me a solid?
Oh. He could provide him with some solid information.
I think you got a solid lead there.
I think the implication was that he was going to head that way when he's like, I'm hungry. If you know what I mean. He's got the hungry eyes. It's like an Eric Carmen song.
Hungry eyes.
That was back when they were considering having Patrick Swayze play Odo.
Be nice.
He's like the wind.
Be nice until it's time to not be nice.
I'm always nice talking about Patrick Swayze because he was a victim of my my charity.
Mm. You know, Patrick Swayze is a very underrated actor. Donnie Darko is a great movie.
Yes. Well, there's nothing wrong with Dirty Dancing either.
No. And Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
And Ghost. And yep. Maya Angelou will absolutely hit you if you say anything nasty about Point Break.
Oh, I can never say it. I love that movie.
Great.
Well, you know, I mean, and I, obviously we're off on a way off on a tangent here, but Ghost and Dirty Dancing are two movies that are probably more or less in a genre that I should not like. And yeah, I do.
But you do so anyway,
So I think that speaks for his ability to be, I don't know about his acting ability so much as his charisma and likability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, charisma.
It's crazy for Swayze, the Deep Space Nine podcast.
And then when he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and still went on to do a season of The Beast, speaks for his dedication to his art. Or for what was his dedication to his art. Because he could have just packed it in and said, screw it, I'm going to just relax for whatever time I have left. Instead, he took on a grueling job. Anyway, now that I've brought up the room... Back to Broken Link. Any more commentary on the events of this?
No, I just think it sets us in a direction that is going to be interesting for season 5.
Yes. Yes, and I would just hope that they won't resolve the entire Gowron being a changeling thing in one episode. I would hope they drag it on and make it, you know, interesting throughout the season. Oh.
You know what? I think about it now, and I think I would have split the premise of this episode in half. I think I would have added a subplot, and the season would have ended with Odo going into the Great Link, drink, and then the next season would begin with the ramifications and the revelation about Gowron being a changeling.
Yeah, I think that would have set it up over the summer.
Like, I'm ready for the next season. Bring it.
And I think they, you know... As you hear in my criticism, I think they tried to move this along a little too quickly, mm-hmm. which I would have rather they developed it longer and amped up the suspense even more. So, but that's not to say this was bad. I think I enjoyed it more than Andy did. And why don't we find out? What do you rate it, Andy?
What did you think of the makeup with, how they portrayed it? Looked like he was like the Incredible Melting Man kind of.
You mean Slimy Odo?
I think it comes off Vaseline on his uniform.
I think it comes off as a little overly digital, but I think that's what they had at the time. Yeah. Oh, I'm messing up. I'm thinking about like when he turns into liquid. Just Odo with body parts peeling.
Yeah, just like melting. Again, a scene I would have done. Just if Dr. Bill filmed this, I would have had at one point when he's laying on the table when he's really starting to lose himself, his solid form, I would have completely covered one eye. I would have just completely like melted half his face and just
so
have
he'd
him
look
like
the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would have been what? I'm serious. I'm not doing it for laughs.
All right, okay, sorry.
I mean I do see your humor, the humor there, but no, that I think that would have, like, they should have really made him look bad. That's just me. But maybe they didn't want to cover up his eye. Maybe that... Well, you know what? Maybe that would have been bad, but it got stuff in his eye. Get an infection from whatever they're putting on, you know, the makeup. But, yeah, never mind. Oh, and I had a song for Gowron. I met a Klingon and he didn't blink. A Gowron, Ron, Ron, a Gowron, Ron. That's it.
I thought we were going to go back to that album that was at the top of the charts, the Batleth Out of Hell.
Well, that'll be one of the selections on that.
To do gow run run to do gow run. That's the name of there's another song for our Deep Space Nine album when we eventually record it, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Gow Run Run might be the title of this episode.
Oh, I've already done. I can do another one.
Nah, we'll save Gow Run 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 for a later episode.
Yeah, oh, okay. You'll get more chances with Gow Run.
We'll get more Gow Run Run Run.
So, Andy, how do you rate it?
I think it's a solid 3.5. It's not bad. I do feel like I may have done it down a little bit when I was talking about it. I do think it sets stuff up more than being a standalone episode in and of itself. I still don't think that it really filled out its 45-minute runtime as well as it could have done. But there's a lot of good stuff in it. There's some wonderfully humorous interaction between the characters. Andy Robinson's always brilliant. The fight between him and Worf was brilliant. The scene between Quark and Odo, great, great stuff. There's a lot to like about it. I just didn't feel it was top-notch.
Okay. I'm actually at 3.52, even though we kind of disagreed on how we got there. I thought it was enjoyable. I think maybe the disappointment comes in that it's a season finale, and you expect it to be, you know, amped up a little bit more. You know, it is, I agree, it is a little slow-moving at points, and I think that's in an effort to create some suspense and awe, as I said earlier. But I enjoyed it overall, and I think it does set up things for next season, and I thought it was interesting, and I do think looking at Odo as, you know, in without his powers does, you know, get your mind wondering on how he's going to deal with it, and, you know, how it's going to impact his standing on the station. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, and I enjoyed it. You know, I just don't think it's that, you know, top episode, but I thought it was very enjoyable, and I think 3.5 is a good rating.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 3.5 Great Sausage Links.
Ooh. That's a great link I can get behind.
Oh, wait, no, the pig thing again, no.
I was going to say, as did the guy in the first episode of Black Mirror. But anyway, yeah, it was still, it has the build up. I mean, it did go a little quick, but, you know, we had the touching stuff with the flirty bits with Odo and, again, Garrick. So yeah, 3.5 sausage links. Great sausage links. Drink, eat Scrapple.
I don't think you would ever eat Scrapple.
I've had Scrapple.
That's never going to happen.
I have eaten Scrapple in my lifetime.
That doesn't surprise me.
Hey.
He says with pride.
It's like eating one of my own. Wait, sorry.
I'm actually going to differ a little bit. I'm actually going to give it a 3, and the reason is I measure all Star Trek season finales against Best of Both Worlds. You get to the end of that episode, Riker says fire, and it's 3 months of torture just waiting to pick that up. That's what a season finale is supposed to do, and that's what this one didn't. And I think if they'd split it up with the, you know, kind of what I thought about it, the Odo going into the Great Link and everything up in the air, or even with Garrick possibly bombing everything, that would have been something that would have been worth waiting through the summer for. So this, I mean, still had great moments, so I'm sticking with the 3, but I think it loses half a point for the potential it kind of squandered.
That's fair enough. I do think, I'm going to say it's fair enough and tell you I think it's a little unfair to compare it to The Best of Both Worlds, which might be like the greatest cliffhanger ever for a season.
Probably, yeah. But that's the high point.
Yeah, all right. I can't, you know, as long as you're factoring that in, that's fine.
It could have brought, I mean, yeah, I know, I don't expect it to meet that, but I think this episode could have left you with that suspense over the summer rather than kind of a lackluster, very quiet ending. Well, Odo's human now. Oh, I think Gowron's a changeling. Credits.
Yeah, it's a very low-key ending for what has been quite a tumultuous season.
So I'm just taking half a point for the potential there.
Mm. All right, so now when we go to season 5, what will we look at next time?
Next time on a new episode of Listen to the Prophet, Apocalypse Rising, as we kick off season 5 in fine style.
Deep in the heart of Klingon territory,
this is a great day for the Empire.
A raging war with the Federation has begun.
Klingons are throwing everything they have at us.
Now, to defeat the enemy,
where are they sending
me?
Sisko must become the enemy.
Haven't you ever seen a Klingon before?
In a suicide mission behind enemy lines. On the next Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
looking at the episodes that's coming up, there are some great ones this year, so we're very much looking forward to getting into that.
Mm-hmm. I love the smell of plasma coolant in the morning. Smells like victory.
Thank you for coming by, Dave. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, you know where we are. We do this at the same time every other Saturday. So if there's any episode in particular over the next season that you want to join us for, feel free to just drop it.
Just kind of hang out about 4:30 in the morning, see what's up.
Yeah. You know, like you are doing. When you're up at 4:30, you've got nothing to do.
Well, you know, we all do have to adjust our schedules for the needs of the one. The needs of the many are outweighed by the needs of the Andy.
I'm sorry. I get up at 5 a.m. to record with Bailey. I'll do the same with you once if you want me to.
Once. Like Johnny Dangerously.
I'll do it once.
I recorded with him once. Once.
Andy's now Joe Piscopo.
Yes, and I get to appear in a terrible episode of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, you do. I mean...
My mother hung me on a post. Once.
That was a bad one.
It was.
But it did have Terry Hatcher in it.
Oh, yeah. No, is that the one? No, that's The Outrageous O'Connor, isn't it?
And isn't that the same episode Joe Piscopo was in?
Is it? Oh, geez, I don't even remember.
Wait, wasn't The Outrageous O'Connor an early... one, because I mentioned
I believe it's a season 2 episode.
It is early season 2.
Joe Piscopo wasn't in that early, was he?
Yes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's when Data's trying to learn comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm. So it may very well be the same episode. Mm. With the Rocketeer in it.
Yep. And Terry Hatcher.
Man who could have been.
Oh, she was the princess.
Riker. No, she's just a transporter chief.
Oh, okay.
She's not credited.
That's
right,
she's in the uniform because that something about that uniform.
And it was back, you know, when she was, you know, in like, I guess it was before the Lois and Clark days.
Mm-hmm. It was before Lois and Clark, but was it after MacGyver?
During.
All right.
And before she had all sorts of surgery to kind of make herself not look as good as she did. Just my own personal opinion. I think she looks very fake now physically.
And I'd still hit it, just on principle alone.
I'm not sure that that's
like
setting.
Like a plate of scrap.
I'm not quite sure how high that's setting the bar.
It's principle, just principle. It's not a pig, you know.
but would you hit that too?
A pig? No.
Okay. We go. We've established that Dave has standards.
Yes,
not
I have standards.
Right? You wouldn't hit a Tellarite?
No! It's the beard that would throw me off.
I could face the other way. Oh, sorry.
The other end's probably not any better.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. You can have your Scrapple, Bill.
Listen to the Prophets, a Deep Space Nine podcast, is a Two True Freaks presentation. It is hosted by Andrew Leyland and Paul Spataro. The music and sound clips used in the show are copyright CBS and Paramount Entertainment. If you like to buy stuff from Amazon, and who doesn't, why not drop by the twotruefreaks.com website, where if you click the little link that we have there, it will take you straight through that site, and whilst it won't cost you any extra, we'll put a few shekels in our tip jar, which helps create content like this. We very much hope you enjoyed listening to The Prophets. Every episode is dedicated to the memory of our pal, Sean Engel.
Sit, Ubu, sit.